The following audio is from First Hamilton Christian Reformed Church, where our vision is to be transformed by the gospel so that we can participate with God in his work of renewing all things in Christ. For more information about First Hamilton, visit www.firsthamilton.ca.
It's been 50 days. It's been 50 days since the Passover took place in Jerusalem. 50 days since the crucifixion of that contentious and popular Jesus of Nazareth. That was quite a time in the life of Jerusalem. Quite a time. Rumors and confusion resonated throughout the community with close disciples, but also soldiers, talking about the angels. And an open tomb, and the sighting of Jesus that followed, many of those sightings. It was all quite exciting and also divisive and yet exciting, but it seems to have gone quiet. We hear of many of the followers of Jesus still gathering, but they seem to have withdrawn. And perhaps this soon will just be yet another story in the annals of Israel's history, but not much more. It seems about 10 days ago, some of them gathered out on a hillside just outside of Jerusalem. And again, there were rumors of cloud and light and loud noises and angels. And something about Jesus ascending. Many hope this will just go away. That this will just disappear. But for a small, loyal group of followers, maybe about 120 of them, deep hope resonates still. Deep hope that this is just the beginning. 50 days since Passover. 50 days since Passover, and once again, the crowds begin to gather in Jerusalem, singing those psalms of ascent, telling stories of Israel's history. The crowds begin to gather in Jerusalem again, not for Passover this time, but this time for the festival of Pentecost, the festival of weeks, the harvest festival. It's Thanksgiving for the Israelites. At the Feast of Weeks, in the Old Testament, that was the time when the first fruits were brought forward. But the resonating memory today is also about 50 days after the Passover, God giving them the law at Mount Sinai. The giving of the law. And there's a memory of that because the law was the way that Israel was going to be freed from the bondage of slavery and sin and be able to live into their new land. God graciously, don't get this wrong, the law was their step to freedom. The Israelites celebrated year after year after year, 50 days after the Passover. They came together again to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, the giving of the first fruits. Some of what's about to happen will resonate. It'll echo loud and clearly with those that are waiting, those 120 in the room, who have perhaps been retelling the stories, just like those pilgrims that are coming into the town. They would have been telling the stories of Mount Sinai, the giving of God's presence at Mount Sinai, and the fire up on the mountain, the clouds, the noise, the wind. All of that would resonate. But it's also the harvest festival. And at the harvest festival, one of the things that would be retold is that story of Ruth. You know it so well. Naomi and her husband, in a time of famine, head off across the Jordan River. They establish a life away from their hometown. Their sons marry. And then sadly, Naomi's husband dies. The son dies. The sons die. And Ruth begins her journey home. And on her journey home, she gets to the place where she's crossing the Jordan River, and she says to her two daughters, You need to go home. You need to go back. And you know the story. One of them goes back, but Ruth clings to her and says, Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Your family is my family. I'm staying with you. And she completes that journey. And you know the story. It's a story of love, and it's a story of the goodness of Boaz. And the people of Israel would resonate with that story years later as they retell God's promise to his people. This generation of family that ultimately leads to the rising of King David, all through Ruth, a Gentile, all in the feast of the harvest. The stories that would be told and would resonate in the minds of the people of Israel. Before we move on to our passage in Acts, just one more thought for your consideration. You see, these Old Testament passages would resonate, and they would be known. We heard the words from Joel about the Spirit descending on the men and the women of Israel. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Ezekiel 37, verse 14. Ezekiel, that prophet of the dry bones. I will put my Spirit in you and will live, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I will put my Spirit in you. The promise of the Spirit came to the Israelites in a time of captivity. It came with a promise of justice. It came with a promise of freedom. It came with a promise of hope. And it comes with a foreshadowing in Isaiah of the Savior. A foreshadowing that we see in the story of Ruth, and the references in Ezekiel's vision of a new and great nation, and the Spirit of God bringing all nations under the covenant promise. And then we come to our passage for today. I want to reread our passage out of the Message, because Eugene Peterson has such a unique way of bringing some of these passages to life in a different way. When the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there came a sound like a strong wind, gale force winds. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. And we know why now, for the Feast of Weeks, for the Harvest Festival. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Why did they come on the run? Because it was familiar to them. They knew that it had meaning. And then, when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on. And they kept saying, aren't these the Galileans? How come they're talking to us in our various tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our language, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make heads or tails of it. They talked back and forth. They were confused. What's going on here? And then, of course, that wonderful line. Others joked, they're drunk on cheap wine. And we know better, because Peter goes on to deliver that beautiful message historically, tying it back into the history of Israel. But what stands out in the text this morning? There's so much we could bring out, but there's three things I want to talk about. I want to talk about, just briefly, the wind. Talk about the fire. And then I want to talk about the harvest. The wind would appear to be a direct correlation with the passage out of Ezekiel 37 in the parable of the dry bones. Remember that one? The parable of the dry bones. Them bones, them bones. Them dry bones, them bones, them bones, them dry bones. You've heard it. Of course you've heard it. Them bones, them bones. He promises to put his Spirit in them to bring them to life. The wind represents the power of God to bring them to life. In fact, the word for spirit in Hebrew and the Greek word for spirit represent the same thing. Wind or breath. Pneuma. The spirit. Similarly, fire represents God. Represents the presence of God. Remember some of those stories? In Exodus, we get the story of the burning bush. God's presence. Moses recognizes the specialness of it. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And then the pillar of fire that leads the Israelites, that leads them out of bondage to Mount Sinai and then on. The pillar of fire. And how about the story of Elijah calling down fire from heaven to make that saturated with water altar erupt in fires? That sacrifice of God, the presence of God in fire. The people gathered on this particular day, they would have made that connection. They would have seen the presence of God. Today, at Pentecost, we too celebrate the twofold blessing of this day. The first fruits of the indwelling of the Spirit, the first fruits of the church, that's the gift of God's Spirit to us. He dwells in us. As I said to the kids before they left this morning, each breath that we take is a reminder that God dwells in us. That beautiful gift. The second gift, of course, is the harvest yet to come. In the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, the memory of God's providential care is strong. He provides through the harvest. He provides through the law. Today, this day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, 10 days after the ascension of Christ, God brings the message of the great Comforter, and he provides us freedom ensured in the Holy Spirit. Today we are reminded and invited to breathe the breath of God, to acknowledge again that it is his Spirit that is in us and equips us and sustains us. In a few minutes, we're going to gather at his table to eat the bread, to drink the cup, and experience the gift of the Savior's sacrifice. The bread of the harvest is given for you, just as his Spirit is extended to us. The first fruits stand as a reminder of the foreshadowing of the great harvest yet to come. Christ's death and resurrection stand as a promise to all nations and all people. When we wonder at what is yet to come, when we look out and say, Lord, what's going to happen? We come to the reminder at the table of the promise of the Savior, the harvest yet to come. Remember today, the Spirit is present in you through his Spirit, and his Spirit emboldens us, it empowers us, and as you go from here today, go filled with the Spirit of God, ready for the task to which he has called you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you, we pray that as we are filled with your Spirit, we can be emboldened for the task before us. Lord, may we go forth from here knowing that you are our God, that you sustain us, that in you we have the great promise, and in you, all of life will continue to be lived fully and truly. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.